Hello and welcome to the Hali Hewa podcast with your host Abigail Kima. Once again, this is day two at the Africa Climate Summit, and I have the pleasure of hosting a very wonderful guest who I will let introduce herself. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Abigail. My name is Maimuna Kabatesi. I work at an organization called HIVOS on a program called Voices for Just Climate Action. And just to tell you a little bit about Voices for Just Climate Action, what we're trying to do with this program is to ensure that we really see civil society and also marginalized communities. And by that, I really mean indigenous people, women, youth, people with disabilities and more, really taking, you know, the forefront in terms of co-creating their own local solutions to climate change. And also really accessing the finances when you talk about climate finance.
Great. Yeah. It's good you've touched on climate finance. And when we go to these conferences, we're always calling for a doubling up of the adaptation fund.
Exactly.
So first of all, what is adaptation and what does it mean for Africa when we say we want finances for adaptation?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good question about adaptation. And for me, one of the key things I always say is that it's actually not complicated. With climate change has come a lot of variability and a lot of shocks to the way we exist as people, as communities. And for Africans, it has been particularly severe. So adaptation is really about how do we make sure that we are able to accommodate these changes that are happening. So if there's a smallholder farmer in rural Kenya, for instance, how are they going to be able to adapt the way maybe they plant, maybe the type of crops that they plant, maybe the way they access water, so that they are not suffering from these climate shocks. So adaptation is a key priority for Africa because of the fact that we are experiencing so much of this impact, and because of the fact that we also have this environment and rely so much on our environment. If you look at the statistics, so many farmers in Kenya are smallholder farmers. If you look at the arid and semi-arid areas we have, a lot of these climate shocks are really going to be impacting, especially indigenous people, especially rural communities. How do we make sure that adaptation is actually it's happening for them and they actually are adapting to these climate shocks?
Great. And of course, HIVOS works very closely with communities. What has that experience been like for you? And what would you say are the top priorities for these communities, especially those that want maybe to scale up the solutions and also to just get an understanding of what is affecting them?
Yeah, no, we work with local communities. I think for HIVOS, it's a key component of our ethos that we really make sure that it's not HIVOS at the forefront, but actually our communities. And we work with communities in various countries, but also in various counties in Kenya. And what we really want is that we just support communities in amplifying their voices. If I go to the community and I talk to people about climate change, they already know what's happening. They already have some solutions. What communities lack is really access to financing. I think that for me is one key thing. And they lack really the space to be able to influence policies, to be able to influence strategies, to be able to influence practice, and of course, to be able to be influencing financing. So key priority, number one key priority of communities is always financing. But number two is really that autonomy and that self-determination that I think a lot of the way in which climate change adaptation and also mitigation is done ends up putting communities last instead of centering communities.
Yeah. And of course, we are here at the Africa Climate Summit and the agenda is green growth and climate finance. So how does this particular platform feed into what communities actually need? Do you feel like this is an important moment for us here in Africa?
I think that we hoped it would be an important moment, especially for the communities. I can say personally, through HIVOS and our partners, we really try to support a lot of members of the community to be here. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of chaos in relation to access for civil society. And so all the community members that we supported to come from Lake Turkana, to come from Homa Bay, to come from other areas of Kenya, and also internationally, we're not able to access the summit. And the other thing is, of course, you mentioned it, a key priority is green growth and climate finance. I feel that the priority at this summit has really been how can we create more profits for businesses, especially businesses coming from outside of Africa. So private sector firms making big deals, there's deal rooms all over this summit, but we are not hearing from indigenous people. We're not hearing from people in rural communities who've not had, you know, rainfall for 3 years. We're not hearing from people who can no longer plant the indigenous seeds because of the seeds bill and the act. So we really see that communities are not really centered in this process. And then when it comes to climate finance, we are always talking about millions, if not billions of dollars, even of the existing climate finance and of the climate finance commitments. But so little of this money is actually reaching communities. $1 in every $10 only is reaching communities. That's a tenth of climate finance. But who is suffering the most? It's communities.
Yeah, which
right?
is so absurd. I mean,
it is absurd.
We are here because
exactly.
of them, but it's so interesting that we are at a table that they're not present.
They're not
and
present.
They're the ones who know where the shoe actually pinches.
Exactly.
So would you say this process has not been inclusive?
I would say it has extremely been, it has not been inclusive at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has actually been designed on purpose to not be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the challenges that we always have. I think there is a disregard when there is a high level quote unquote meeting
mm-hmm.
that you don't actually need to have community there.
Yeah.
And for me, that's it's a mistake from the beginning, but it's a mistake we see perpetuated over and over again, because there's always an idea that the people with money know best.
Yeah.
And that's not actually true, especially when you talk about adaptation.
Mm-hmm. And I think, of course, we are now basically missing the point, because we, you know, at the African Climate Summit, the whole idea is to come together
yeah.
and have one voice as Africans. And of course, our community, as you put it, statistics, we are smallholder farmers,
yeah.
everything that we do in terms of economic benefits actually comes from the environment, which is, anyway, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So finally, of course, at the Africa Climate Summit, there's going to be a declaration put together by the African heads of state. So
yeah.
what would you say are your expectations for that particular declaration and moving to COP28?
Yes, I think I would say my wish list rather than my expectations, because those are very different.
Yeah.
My expectations are not that... I don't think it's going to be a very positive outcome, but we can always hope.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would really want to see is really, first of all, African countries really centering indigenous communities, really centering local communities, people.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about climate finance, how do we really get this money flowing to people?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the decision making and the autonomy of communities to make. So we don't want to see projects coming in externally already determined what they're going to be, but communities determining the way forward. And third, I would really want to see very clear demands for very strict timelines on getting the existing climate finance commitments that we've not yet been able to achieve since Paris in 2015, talking about new climate finance in a very specific way, ensuring that when you talk about climate finance, it's not just about the money, but who it reaches. And I would also really want this statement to really focus on components such as gender equality, the marginalization of youth,
mm-hmm.
people with disabilities, and not just as a sentence somewhere,
yeah.
but being really intentional about how do we ensure that these people who are suffering the most from climate change are actually going to be able to access this climate finance.
Yeah, and I think intentionality is really important, because we can be meeting here, but without that intentional engagement, then we're missing the whole point.
Exactly.
You said something on the new finance, and of course there's also a conversation
yeah.
on the financial structure and restructuring. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that we are having a big fight at the moment, because as not only African countries, but largely African countries, also small island developing states, countries in Asia, we have been pushing for the existing finance commitments to be adhered to for a very long time, and we've not seen that happen.
Yeah.
And then because there's new facilities such as the loss and damage facility, we're also trying to see how do we get new climate finance.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to avoid is a situation where the existing climate finance keeps being split further and further to reach all the new demands. We want to see new climate finance. When the goal for 50% of climate finance to go to adaptation, that was a big win for Africa, but how do we make sure that this is not just from the existing money, but new money flowing to adaptation?
Yeah.
And then I think the last thing is that lately we have been seeing a lot of countries pulling back on their climate finance commitments. Most recently, I think I've seen the UK saying that they're not going to be able to achieve even the commitments they set at Glasgow, so at COP26. So I really want our countries to push back on this. You know, this shouldn't be acceptable and it shouldn't be taken as normal. We should be asking countries, northern countries, to not only maintain the commitments that they made, but to also bring new money on the table, because they are historically and presently still the cause of all the issues that we have due to climate change.
Great. Thank you so much for all your insights. Is there anything you feel you haven't
said? No, I think for me, it's just that I would really want more people outside the climate space, so who don't do it professionally, to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue that affects literally every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to get worse. Let's have more conversations about climate, but also about climate justice. Just why are we asking these countries for money? It's not charity. There is a reason why, and it's because we are not the people who cause climate change. So we need to make sure that we are addressing these historical and current wrongs that are happening. And I invite anybody that is interested in this conversation to reach out to Hivos, to reach out to me. And we're always happy to talk more about this.
Yeah, I mean, you can plug with maybe
yes,
your website.
Can be found on, our website is just hivos.org. Mm-hmm. And I can also be found on Twitter at Munakab, MUNAKAB.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Thank
so
you.
For having you on the podcast.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.